those riots and those protests and everything that happened to try to benefit the system, try to create change. And slowly, that's been happening, right? And if you have the opportunity to hop on the wave, you better take that.
What's up, y'all? My name is Alan Sheriff, aka Alan the Sheriff of all things innovative, and this is the ATS Podcast. Here on the ATS Podcast, we talk about all things science, technology, and psychology related, and it's my hope that I'm making the world a better place, one new episode at a time. Everyone, thank you so much for joining me on the next episode. We have a special guest today to help me discuss how to help build your community through economic and environmental development. And I thought, who better to help me discuss this than someone who's had a wide-ranging experience in this for a while. This man is the senior legislative aide to Montgomery County Council President Tom Tucker, and my man is actively working to strengthen minority and immigrant communities through economic and community development, and he tells no lies whatsoever on Twitter. I love this man's thread, so you know he'll probably give you some information afterwards on how you can reach him on there so you can take a look yourself. But basically, everybody, please join me in welcoming Upnee Atwal. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. Appreciate you for having me, man.
Yeah, man. It's good to see you again, man. I remember we used to have conversations at some of the graduation parties about, you know, community development and whatnot and just sharing our ideas and whatnot. So, you know, it's great to have you on this podcast so you can kind of give a little bit of your perspective to the audience, you know, and, you know, just give people ideas on how we can help improve communities all over the world. So it's great to finally have you on, man.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, man, let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's not waste any time. So basically, one of the questions I wanted to ask you off the bat has to do with the relationship between governments and communities in general. You know, I know we've seen a lot of planning. I know we've seen a lot of constructive planning, basically. I know we've seen a lot of gentrification and all that stuff. And sometimes you can tell it irks people because they can't tell whether that planning is going to be conducive to the community's success, or they're just trying to displace, you know, longtime members of that community who have probably been there for, you know, years and years and years. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that. And a lot of people feel like they're being taken advantage of. And that basically just gets to the crux of the question I wanted to ask is, you know, how do we help improve trust between governments and communities in general, especially when it comes to projects like these? Because, I mean, I know I've personally done a little bit of research myself. Sometimes it ultimately depends on the properties themselves. Sometimes the government wants to come in and try to maybe enhance the infrastructure, make it better, make it a bit more sustainable. Or sometimes they just want to build new properties that can be provided for lower income individuals. But the materials themselves make the building a lot cheaper. So I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on how we can help bridge the gap between the communication of governments and communities when it comes to building new infrastructure or just working on new projects in general.
Yeah, for sure. So there's like two ways of looking at this. One is where you are located in the jurisdiction, which county or which city are you in America? Because every county and city has their own regulations and rules in place to help combat some of the issues that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then the second part is, to what extent are property owners and residents also in communication with each other and the local government? And so the first part is, like, if you look at Montgomery County, right, we have MPDU, inclusionary zoning. Every building or almost every building that gets built in Montgomery County that I think has more than 12 units has to have MPDUs available, which is moderately priced dwelling units, which is low income household units. Most of them could be, if, for example, if you get an apartment in downtown Silver Spring and the apartment costs $1,700, an MPDU in that building might cost $1,400 instead, so that the resident could save $300 to $400 a month. Right. That's the first way to help combat that. Whenever you create a new development, so that when you have these new units available, you're also making it available to those who might not be able to afford the new luxury apartment, right?
Yeah.
One good thing about the MPDU program in Montgomery County is that the units have to have the same exact utilities and appliances as every other unit in the building. So just because you have an MPDU does not mean that you're getting a lesser apartment than anybody else. Your square footage itself might be a little smaller, but you're getting access to exact same things every other person that building's getting access to. Mm-hmm. The second part of it that you touched on, which is engagement, that falls more so on the planning department, and the planning department is essentially an agency in most jurisdictions that help create the blueprint for how development will occur in that jurisdiction for the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years sometimes. And on that plan, that planning department really needs to go out their way to create engagement plans and create engagement programs that really go out into the community. And they don't just touch on how do you feel about this right now. They also go back continuously and say, how do you feel now that this is being implemented? Have you reaped the benefits of this being implemented? What do you think your community needs for it to strive in the next 5, 10, 15 years? Right? That's really what needs to be done. And putting people in positions of power within these departments who might have grown up in these communities. Right, that's extremely important, right, as well. We have a plan in the county going on right now, up in the Fairland Briggs Chaney area, up in East County, around Castle Boulevard, Greencastle, and all that. And one of the people leading that plan is a Black woman who grew up in Montgomery County, right? So who better to really understand the Black and Brown communities than a Black person who grew up in the county not too far from this community, right? Whereas you might have a plan for in some other jurisdiction, you might have a plan for community that is mostly Asian, for example. You might not have one Asian on your team. How are you truly going to be able to connect with that community without understanding inside your own department how they feel, how this community interacts, how their culture interacts, what they need, what they want. A lot of the nonverbal things too, right? Just because you're engaged in a community doesn't mean you should only be tracking verbal engagement. You should be tracking nonverbal engagement. What's going on in this community when we're not there, right? What's the crime looking like? What are the needs that we can tell from the local schools? And putting all that information together to help create developments that will really benefit communities is what's important. For example, there's a development that might occur. Can't really give a location, but that at the bottom of that development, they're going to put a community center for a specific cultural group that is very, very, they're just deep out here. That's the best way to put it. There's so many people of that culture in this community that they want to create a community center just for them, right? And it's not saying that nobody else can come to that community center, but they understood that this community has been going through it. Their home country's been having problems. Some of these people just need a community space for other resources that they might not necessarily be getting from the county. And so that's just one example of how to bring in all this engagement and create developments that don't necessarily gentrify. And then the last point I want to touch on is the actual term of gentrification. A lot of people tie gentrification directly to displacement. The way I view it is that gentrification is the revitalization of an area, which is helping improve this economy, helping improve the property values, helping improve quality of life. And that is separate from displacement, although it can cause displacement, and displacement might be a part of that development. But not all gentrification is necessarily going to cause the greatest number of people being displaced. Another example about downtown Silver Spring. Downtown Silver Spring has, quote unquote, gentrified over the last 20 years. But most of the residents that live here are still Black and Brown. It just happens to be higher income Black and Brown residents to a certain extent. But a lot of the residents that grew up in and around downtown Silver Spring, they're still able to stay here because their garden style apartments from the 1950s, 1960s are still up. You know what I mean? Those apartments are being protected to a certain extent from being torn down, while there's a focus on more development inside the downtown, and all that development has MPDUs involved, right? So you saw economic development in downtown Silver Spring. You saw a drop in dilapidated areas and buildings that were run down or alleyways that weren't cleaned, but you also saw Black and Brown people benefiting from this economic development. And that's a great example of how this can be done in a way to help serve the community that deserves the economic development.
I like that. I like that, man. Yeah, just changing the way we look at the term gentrification itself. Because even me, myself, I kind of have a hard time understanding where people come from when they say that, or I just don't have a good idea of, I just don't have a good definition in my head of what that is. So the way you just laid it out was just great. I also like how you mentioned earlier about how these organizations are now, and I don't know if this is something that they've implemented recently based on what you said, but I like how they're putting individuals in positions of power in these organizations who come from these communities, who actively play a role in going back to these communities and having these conversations, having these dialogues, asking them about, you know, whether or not this planning is working out for them, what they can do to improve the process next time, possibly just continuing that dialogue, I think is extremely important. So I don't know how recent that is, but if they've been doing that, shoot, just keep on doing that, because that's extremely wonderful. I love that. I love that.
It is fairly recent though, and I think that it's important for a lot of people to understand what 2020 did for local government. 2020, during all the riots and all the protests, that is really when change was almost forced. You know what I'm saying?
And step it up. Yeah.
And you gotta, as a Black or a brown individual that's working in a space that you can benefit from that, you got to take that shit to run. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Can't be thinking, oh, you know, I don't want to get this position just because of whatever, you know, whatever excuse there is. Those riots and those protests and everything that happened to try to benefit the system, try to create change. And slowly that's been happening, right? And if you have the opportunity to hop on the wave, you better take that because you want to be able to be in a position of power. And that was just so hard to get into until, you know, not too long ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, so this might be a pretty basic question, but I mean, I was going to ask, so do you think communities have to rely on governments to a certain extent most of the time? I mean, I guess what I'm basically trying to ask is, do you think that communities can organize and build themselves as opposed to always focusing on, you know, what the government can do for them and stuff like that? Do you think that it's possible for communities to be able to do that? Just right off the bat, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely communities can do that. You know, there's some great examples here. I keep mentioning Montgomery County because it's a unique area where the county in the 1980s, 1990s was 80-90% white, right? So it's hard for us to understand gentrification here in our community, because what we've seen is an influx of immigrants, an influx of more diversity in the county, right? Throughout our lives of living in the area. Even in PG County, you know, PG County back in the 60s, 70s was still fairly white, and there was an influx of Black residents that came in, and then Hispanic residents and some Asian residents. So this, the DMV area is unique in the sense where DC was really the area that we saw the greatest gentrification, and our communities in Montgomery and PG really benefited from it in becoming more diverse and becoming more, creating more opportunity for Black and brown groups. Run back the second part of what you just said.
No, I think I was basically trying to get to the idea that if communities don't have to rely as much on governments, what can they personally do themselves to thrive?
So in communities across Montgomery and PG, you'll see neighborhoods come together that have essentially realized that we need to bring our own sense of community power, our own sense of community engagement, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's a couple communities here in Montgomery County that, you know, white or Black or whatever race you want to think of, they've come together so organized and so well that they've created community listservs, they've created community newsletters. Every neighbor in the neighborhood gets updates on what's going on at the county level. And every single day, every single week, those communities are coming together and sending out mass emails to the county government, essentially, you know, serving as a check and balance to them, saying, this is what we're hearing and this is not what we're wanting, right? And the government's supposed to serve the community. And that that's true across so many levels. It might be beneficial for the overall greater community, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it might not be beneficial, but at the end of the day, you're seeing those communities come together and you know, self-organize and self-advocate for themselves. In Washington, D.C., in the city, you could see it in the form of ANCs, area neighborhood commissions. Those are small, the smallest level of government essentially in the city. And they have groups come together that are self-organized and self-advocate. And the only problem with that is who's really serving on those ANCs, right? You might have a neighborhood like Trinidad, which is, you know, historically black, and it might have a majority white ANC, because who really knows about what's going on? That's where you know, you and I come in, where we gotta fill in the gap and say this is available. You need to start being able to use it. We can't just keep having certain people use these tools for, you know, what is perceived as everyone's benefit, but it might not be everyone's benefit.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%, 100%. What do you think are some of the most important success factors when it comes to a community based on what you've seen so far? I mean, I know a few examples include education, food deserts, tax credits, housing vouchers, stuff like that. Well, what do you think has been the most important thing that you've seen so far that's been conducive to a community success?
I think all the things you just mentioned, and then recreation and outdoor space, especially for young people between, you know, late elementary school up until their early 20s. If you don't have somewhere that you can physically go and partake in recreational activities and feel safe and have fun doing it,
Facts.
you're going to end up getting into all types of. It's completely off the path of what you need to be on, right? And having easy access to those facilities is what matters most. And I'm not going to say it's like a cure to all the problems, because, you know, up in Germantown not too long ago, a kid got killed. They was playing basketball. He got shot after the game. They was outside, but it was after hours. Nobody from the rec center was there. You know what I'm saying? So if we're going to create these resources, we also need to make sure that they're accessible with eyes on the street at all times of the day that they're needed. You know, rec centers shouldn't be closing at 9, 10 p.m. because we all know that when we're young, you want to be out till midnight, 1 a.m. You might not have a reason to be back home until those times, right? So our these re once we have these resources in the communities, we need to be sure that we have you know, educated, not necessarily educated in academia, but educated in terms of how to respond to issues. We need to have educated people around with their eyes on the street, watching what's going on, so that younger people can, you know, enjoy themselves. And when you're enjoying yourself in a safe environment and that leads to less crime, then you have a greater sense of this is my community. I love it. I want to keep it safe. I want to keep it thriving, you know?
Exactly. I just think it's about focusing on the next generation, man. So you're definitely right there. I mean, that's all it really is. I don't think a lot of people understand that when it comes to the next generation, they're going to be the ones who are going to continue to grow and cultivate the community, you know, in proper ways. They're going to be the ones to step it up. 'Cause I mean, I know that there sometimes when it comes to, you know, low income communities, there can be broken households and stuff like that. But as long as we're taking care of the youth, you know, who are going to be setting us up for success in the future, just overall the general community, that's where we definitely need to be putting a lot more of our resources in. 'Cause you know, in that early developmental stage, you need to be able to cultivate healthy mindsets in the youth. You just have to. I think mental health is extremely important. I don't think we should be playing around in that area at all. What are you seeing right now in terms of how we're investing in renewable energy when it comes to the infrastructure that we have, you know, today? And not even just, you know, Montgomery County or just our area. How do you think about the way it's being implemented, especially around the world and stuff like that? Do you think that is going to be an easy feat? Do you think it's a lot more difficult than we think? What do you think about its integration right now?
I think it's fairly easy to do. It's just about convincing people that that change needs to happen and that that change is good. and involving communities that have never had the opportunity to benefit from that, to be involved in that change, right? You look at, I was just watching this video yesterday about, cryptocurrency and how cryptocurrency can help fund, different initiatives around the world. And I think it was Sub-Saharan Africa holds one third of all cryptocurrency in the world, or some wild number like that, or they're going to by 20 something, some random year that they were talking about. So if you know that that there are areas that are looking to grow over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you know that they have a lot of opportunity for creating environmentally sustainable energy development, you need to go to those communities, create that, and then also help create jobs out of it, help create education incentives out of it, help get those communities involved, help them invest in it, right? It doesn't always have to be the employee. They could also be the boss. They could help invest in it. You never know who wants to invest in what until you go out into the community and ask. Having every single part of the community involved from the top to the bottom is going to be really important. Because in urban areas and cities around the world, most are on rivers, right? We know with climate change, rivers are rising, cities are losing land, cities are losing where they would get their energy from originally. So we need to start thinking smarter and thinking faster about how can we help some of our cities continue to thrive when they're losing their land and their access to whatever energy sources that they had.
Exactly, man. Looking forward to the future. That's what it really is. And that's exactly why I enjoy having conversations like this, especially with people like you, because we definitely have to get more forward-thinking individuals on these matters, because they're extremely important when it comes to, how exactly we're going to enable our communities to thrive for, generations and generations and not get left behind, man, because that's exactly how all this other stuff starts happening, with people coming in and taking advantage of others and just setting communities up for failure. It's disgusting. Nah, man, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, man. This episode really opened my mind up. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the knowledge. I appreciate everything that you do. You know what I'm saying? I respect it. I respect your straightforwardness and, forthcoming and being able to just lay it out the way it is. So, I greatly appreciate that. And I think my audience will definitely appreciate that too. Yo, where can people find you, man?
Yeah, on Twitter you can find me at Keeping It Neat, IG Neat, NEET dot fit, FIT. And you find me on this podcast again. I'm sure that we're going to do a part two on this subject, because there's a lot. We could create a whole series about planning and community development across the country, across the world, and how to get more people aware of it, how to get them more involved.
Definitely, man. Definitely. A lot more to unpack. Definitely. I'm definitely going to be bringing you back on, man. We need to continue this discussion. And again, man, appreciate everything that you're doing. Just keep on doing it. Keep doing your thing. And we right behind you, man. We right behind you.
Yeah,
Appreciate it.
appreciate you too, man. Keep doing your thing with the podcast and having people become more aware of what's going on in the community. If you don't know, that's the biggest issue. If you don't know what's going on, how are you ever going to be able to be part of it?
Exactly. Upni Atwal, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, man.
Appreciate you, bro.